pray. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 6. And I was talking a little bit last week of sometimes having problems coming up with message titles and wanting to even make sure my message titles are good. And I'll be again honest when it comes to writing messages. Sometimes I struggle. I remember when I first took the pastorate here and thought, you know, I had four messages to write every week. I thought, how in the world am I ever going to do this? And you know, I struggled a little bit, but then, you know, you pray and seek God's guidance. You get into the Word of God, and I think as long as I was in the Word of God, as long as I was reading the Word of God, there's plenty of book here to preach. Amen. And you think about how. Well, again, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they were talking about, well, you know, when I read through the Old Testament, there are some areas in that Old Testament, man, it's like eating sawdust, you know, going through the genealogies and going through the tabernacle instruction and all those chapters and verses. But, you know, the bottom line is there's a lot of Bible here, amen? And I will say, though, that sometimes I struggle, and I put a message together, and sometimes I'm wondering how in the world am I ever going to preach this message, and I was wondering what am I going to preach on, and God wanted me to go to the book of Proverbs. We've been looking at some of the Psalms, and I did a little series a few years ago on some Proverbs, and the Lord just said, you know what, go to the Proverbs, and I'm going to do a series called A Better Understanding. And when we think about God's Word, I guess God is kind of pushing me towards a focus towards God's Word. We're going to be looking in our Sunday school at some basic biblical doctrines. But, you know, I think we all, as far as God's people, we all need a better understanding of His Word. One of the things that we looked at this morning when it came to studying our Bibles was learning personal application, learning to take what we've read and seen in God's Word and take those things and apply them to our lives to help us to conform to God's will and to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way that we are going to ever achieve Christ-likeness, the only way that we're ever going to have a better understanding of God's Word is to get into God's Word, to be reading God's Word. Job said that he desired the words of God more than his necessary food. He desired to be into the Word of God, to consume the Word of God, to allow it into his heart, and allow even the Word of God to consume us. And if we want to get to that place, if we want to get to the place where we would say as well that I would rather have the Word of God than anything else, we've got to increase our desire for the Word of God. I heard a thing this week. They were interviewing three generations of individuals and asked them what they did for fun. Now, John was telling me this morning that I asked him how his week was, and John said he was out picking berries. Amen. And he said, I got a bit of a sore back, but when you eat those nice fresh berries, it's worth it all, isn't it, John? Amen. Now, these three generations were about 80 years old, about 50 years old, and someone in their early 20s. So they asked the person who was in their 80s, John, you're not there yet, we know that, but what do you do for fun? I'm not asking you, but they asked this individual, or many individuals, what do you do for fun? And you know what the answer was? The number one answer is they went and picked berries. They used to go out and pick berries for fun. That was something to do. So then they asked the 50s kind of crowd, you know, you're almost there, Keith, amen. Pay attention. Far away. They asked the 50s guys, this is what they said. We used to go knock on doors, get all our friends together, and we used to have a game of hide and seek, or we'd go down to the playground and we would get a game of football going, or we'd get a game of road hockey going. And, you know, I'm almost in my 50s. Okay, I am in my 50s. And I say, amen. That's exactly what we did. I remember after school going down to the park every single day and playing football. And then in the winter time, when it got a little too cold for football or whatever, we would play hockey. We'd get road hockey out, you know, and you remember, if you've ever played road hockey, you know, car, and you'd have to pull the net over, amen? Who knows what I'm talking about, y'all, the 50-year-olds. So now they go down to the early 20s. What do you guys do for fun? Can anybody guess? Play games on my phone. That was the number one answer. What is our desire? And what brings us pleasure? And what gives us thrills? You know, I believe, and I'm not just saying this, I'm not just crying and saying, woe is me for the generation I was born in. But I believe today, not only do we probably live in one of the hardest days to reach people with the gospel, but I think even as Christians, we are living in a day that's very difficult. To be cutting-edge Christians. You know, we have got so much today that we don't have time to read the Bible. We've got so much going on. We've got so much pleasure in our society today. I was driving yesterday over to the Whites and driving there. And again, don't get me wrong. You know, when you start saying things like this, there's nothing wrong with RVs. There's nothing wrong with boats. There's nothing wrong with snowmobiles. There's nothing wrong with those things are all right. I'm driving down the road, though, and I was counting the number of RVs that were coming. Great, big, huge, $90,000 RVs. I was looking at a horse trailer. How many people would love to live in a horse trailer? Put up your hand. I was looking at a horse trailer. $90,000. It had marble countertops, plush leather couches. The bathroom in this thing was unbelievable. And those are the best kept horses I've ever seen in my life. They've got all the luxuries of the... Well, you say, well, Pastor, they're not for the horses. No, they're not. They got a couple of stalls in the back of the trailer for the horses. The people live up front. This thing was... It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable, $90,000. And, we have so much today. We have toys and we have money. You're saying, Pastor, I don't have much money. You know what? We have everyone here, I'll guarantee you, has more money than the average person did 50 or 60 years ago. My mom and dad, when we got married, they were going on about all the gifts we got. They said, my mom says, Michael, when we are married, we got a lamp and an ashtray. A lamp and an ashtray. You're bringing your stuff in a truck. That's exactly what she said. I can still hear her in my mind, you know, everything. One of the biggest things that the devil can use is distractions when it comes to our Christianity. And you know, I'm saying as a preacher, you know what, we can say, and look, I can look out here and say, you know what, I can point fingers and everything else, and we're distracted with cell phones and with you know, all of the things that we have today and all of the toys that we have and all of the, you know, but I'm just as tempted as everyone else, you know, to just say, hey, I could set my affections in some, you know, allow things to take me out of church, allow things to take me out of the Word of God, allow things to take me out of serving God, allow things to stop me from witnessing. Well, we it doesn't work today. People aren't listening today. You ever hear of a guy named Noah? How many people listened? 100 years he preached. How many converts did he get? He brought his family along. We live in interesting days. And again, I'm not complaining and saying, you know, I wish I was alive 100 years ago when nothing was open on Sunday and everybody went to church and I didn't have to go out and, you know, pound the pavement. We didn't have to go out and bring people in. They just came. Everybody went to church. You know, it'd be a lot easier day to live in. You know, they had their struggles back then too. But we live in a difficult day. Not only to win people, but even to live for the Lord. We have got so much to pull us away. And our desire should be stronger for the Word of God. I believe today it should be stronger for the Word of God than ever before. Because we need the Word of God. We need defense. We need protection. We need help today. Maybe more than we've ever needed it before. You know, you talk about the day that we live in being, you know, our day being more difficult than it was, you know, 100 years ago or 200 years ago. You know, 200 years ago, they didn't have to deal with pornography. I'm sure there was garbage going on back then, but you know what? They, my generation, when I was younger, the worst you had to worry about was somebody coming out of the Becker's store or the Max Milk with a brown paper bag. Now it's everywhere. It's on cell phones. It's on television. It's on the internet. It's everywhere. And we have so much against us today. And I think, as Christians, those things should drive us deeper into the Word of God. There was a story about a proud young man who came to Socrates asking for knowledge. He walked up to the muscular philosopher and said, "Oh, great Socrates, I come to you for knowledge." Socrates recognized a pompous numbskull when he saw one. So he led the young man through the streets to the sea and chest deep into the water. Then he asked, "What do you want?" "Knowledge, O wise Socrates," was his reply. Socrates put his strong hands on the man's shoulders and he pushed him under. 30 seconds later, Socrates led him up. "What do you want?" he asked again. "Wisdom," the young man sputtered. "Oh, great Socrates, I want wisdom." Socrates crunched him under again. 30 seconds passed, 35, 40 seconds, and Socrates led him up. The man was gasping. "What do you want, young man?" And between heavy, heavy breaths, the fellow wheezed, "Knowledge, oh, wise and wonderful." Well, Socrates jammed him under again. 40 seconds passed, 50 seconds. He led him up. "What do you want?" "Air," was his reply. "I need air." When you want knowledge as much as you've just wanted air, then you will have it. And you know, we can have knowledge if we want it. And we can have wisdom and understanding in God's way if we want it. Proverbs chapter 1. Let's stand together if you're able to. We're going to look at the first six verses, but I'm just going to read verse 6 as our text verse. We're going to look at a better understanding. And this morning, we're going to look at a proverb. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great and wonderful promises that you've given to us in your word. And one of these promises is that if we desire knowledge, if we want to know more about you, and we want to have understanding, it can be ours if we want it. And Lord, as we look at this message this morning, I pray that the Spirit of God would give us free course, that the Word of God would penetrate our hearts and do that which it's intended to do. We thank you and we praise you for your grace and goodness. And Lord, we ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. And amen. You may be seated. We live, as I mentioned, in a very different day. You think back into the Dark Ages and, you know, back when the Roman Catholic Church dominated the world for the most part. The average literacy rate was approximately about 10% in men and about 2% in women. And if you read anything about the history of those days, the church kept people illiterate on purpose. They didn't want them to learn. They didn't want them to know. They didn't want them to have understanding because they wanted to control them. They figured the best way to do that is just to keep them in the dark. You know, we live in a day, they've called it a day of higher learning or higher education, a higher knowledge. You know, we live in a day, I think back in my lifetime. You know, I've been watching I watch Andy Griffith. I love Andy Griffith and some of the old shows back in the 60s. And we always laugh at the technology, you know. And I've been watching one of the old police shows, Adam 12, from back in the late 60s and early 70s. And, you know, back in those days. And it's funny because you get programmed for today, right? And here's these police officers, and they're out of their vehicle, and they can't communicate with each other because they got no radios. And whenever they want to call back to the station, they got to get out of their car and go over to a phone. And who remembers the old police phones? Who remembers those? Yeah, they were phones that were on the streets of big cities, and it was for the police to use only. And, you know, the radios, if they had a portable radio, they were the size of, you know, microwaves. They were great, big, huge things. I think in my lifetime, the advancements that we've seen in technology, it's incredible. And I think of my grandparents. And my grandparents grew up with horse and buggy. No outdoor plumbing. Or no indoor plumbing. All outdoor plumbing. And seeing cars come in. And again, I've mentioned this before. My mom, I remember her talking about the first time she ever heard of a television. Heard of a television. Not had one. And even radio being a new thing to my grandparents, it would have been brand new. And when my mom and dad were little, radio, that would have been new. Fairly new. It would only have been out for about 10 or 15 years when they were teenagers. And we've had incredible advancements in technology. And what we need to realize, and what I think as far as the application of that goes, is our knowledge growing in God's Word? Is our knowledge and understanding growing every day and every week and every month about God and about God's Word? Because you know what? We don't want to be stuck in the dark ages, brothers and sisters. We don't want to be stuck back in the day when we only know maybe 10% of the Bible, or maybe we only know 2%, or maybe we don't even understand what it is to be a Christian. God wants us to continue to learn and to grow. And I was talking to somebody about Scotland yesterday, you know, and Ireland, about this old telescope back in the 1800s, one of the biggest telescopes of the day that was over in Ireland. And now we got this Hubble, you know, space telescope that's up there. Who remembers when they first launched that thing? It was back in, I think it was the late 90s, or was it the early 90s it was launched? And it was gonna open the world, or the universe, up to the world. It was going to change what we thought and our perceptions of the universe. And so they put that thing up there. And I remember the world was waiting. And I was waiting because we wanted to see the pictures that were coming from the space Hubble telescope. But it was broken. Who remembers that? It was broken. And so they fixed it. And then the world was waiting. And then it was broken again. It probably took them 5 or 6 years. 5 or 6 years before they finally got that thing working. And one journalist said, never, ever make something that rhymes with the word trouble. Just don't do it. Technology certainly sometimes can be trouble. But when we learn, and when our knowledge of the Word of God and our understanding of God and His person and His will increase, you know, troubles may still come. Problems in our lives may still come, but now we have the resources to fix them and to get through them. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1. And when we think about Proverbs 1 and verse 6, this is the outcome. It says, verse 6 says, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark saying. This is the conclusion. Verses 1 to 5 tell us how we got to that conclusion. Look at verse 1. The proverb of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. And now he says, if we do those things, if we look at what he's just said, then we can understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise, and dark sayings. The first thing I want to look at here is a proverb. What is a proverb? What is a proverb? Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 4. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 4. The Bible says there that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased. Now we're going to read that verse there, and the Bible says that there's a proverb. This proverb is taken up against the king of Babylon. Now, if we were to continue reading on through verse 16 there in Isaiah chapter 14, who's he talking about? Just skim through there. Who's he talking about? These are very, very familiar verses. Lucifer, how hast thou fallen, O Lucifer? I will exalt my throne above the stars of heaven. I will be exalted even more than the God of heaven. I will. But according to verse 14, who's he talking about there? He's talking about the king of Babylon. So in a nutshell, a proverb is a similitude. According to the Easton Bible Dictionary, it's a trite maxim, a similitude, a parable. A Hebrew word thus rendered has a wide significance. It comes from the root meaning to be like. So there in, for instance, Isaiah chapter 14, Isaiah gives them a proverb to be like. Listen, Mr. King of Babylon, you are like Lucifer. And we're going to give you a little illustration about who you are and about what you're like. This is what's going to happen to you because this is exactly what you've done. It is a proverb and is rendered proverb in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 4. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 6, a proverb. Christ used many illustrations, many proverbs in his teachings. A parable. A parable is a proverb. One of the most popular, well-known proverbs in the Bible is found in 1 Kings chapter 20 and verse 11. The Bible says there, this is talking about Ahab's defiant words in answer to the insolent demands of Ben-Hadad. He says this, let him that girdeth on his harness boast himself, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. And that's one of those little things where these little Proverbs that is going to make us stop and think for a minute. Let not him that putteth on his harness boast like him that taketh it off. We think, man, yeah, we've got to think about this for a minute. What is he saying? Saying, basically, don't brag about the fact that you're going out to war like you're someone who's coming back alive. You know, in other words, don't boast about your victory until you get back and you've won. And so there's so many different things that we can take from this little proverb, this little saying. So when we think about Proverbs, God says that we can understand, we can have knowledge through Proverbs. Solomon, the Bible says, was the wisest man ever known. Of course, other than the Lord Jesus Christ. But Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs. He used Proverbs in his ministry. He used Proverbs as a king. And he was the wisest man. God wants us to understand Proverbs. The second thing we see here is the simple. The Bible says in verse 4 that Proverbs are given, that God has given us knowledge and understanding and given us all of these things to give subtlety to the simple. Simple, simple, simple. Now, what is it to be simple? Who is simple? Am I simple? Are you simple? What does it mean to be simple? Well, I would have to be the first to understand and admit that I'm simple. And we need to understand that we are simple. We are very simple people. And God said that He wants to give us understanding because we are simple. A mother and her 4-year-old daughter were preparing to retire for the night, and the child was afraid of the dark. The mother, on this occasion alone, with her child, felt fearful as well. When the light was out, the child caught a glimpse of the moon outside the window. "Mother," she asked, "is the moon God's light?" "Yes," said the mother. The next question was this: "Will God put out his light and go to sleep?" The mother replied, "No, my child, God never goes to sleep." Then, out of the simplicity of a child's faith, she said that which gave reassurance to the fearful mother: "Well, as long as God is awake, there's no sense in both of us staying up." Simplicity. You know, God doesn't expect us to be theologians. God doesn't expect us to understand everything that there is to know. Now, my point is this. Unless we come to the place where we realize that we are simple, that we're knuckleheads, that we're not very smart. Until we come to that place, we will never seek understanding. If we're proud and we're boastful and we're thinking, man, you know what? I'm not simple. I've got all the answers. I know all there is to know about theology. I could pass if I was ever questioned, you know, like a pastor is going through his ordination, I could answer all of those questions with flying colors. I think I could get through it, you know. I've been around. I've been down the road a little bit. You see, with an attitude like that, we're never going to learn. We're never going to seek. And we're never going to desire. We've got to realize that we need to learn. There was a fellow who lived during the Second World War. His name was Bartz. I don't know if you've ever heard of him or not. I don't know if you've ever read anything. I'm not going to say I would recommend anyone read after Karl Barth, but he was a Swiss theologian during the Second World War. And he is, even today, regarded as the greatest theologian of the 21st century. He lived during that war, and he was not going to allow the Nazi era to corrupt his faith or his vision in God, although they tried. He's been on the front cover of almost all pop culture magazines, interviewed and venerated, considered one of the greatest theological minds. And years after the war, he was given a lecture to an American audience, and they asked him what the secret was to all of his massive amounts of writing. He wrote theological books like we've never seen. He wrote and he wrote and he wrote volumes and volumes. And they said, what's behind it all? What's behind that great mind? And you know what his answer was? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And he left it at that. In other words, what he was saying was that he had to realize his simplicity and the simplicity of learning, the simplicity of knowledge and understanding. If he didn't start with simplicity, he never would have wrote the volumes that he ended up writing. The Bible goes on to say there that he wants to give young men knowledge and he wants to give them discretion. These are the things that God wants us to learn. And then I want to look at this. Gaining wisdom. The Bible says a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Again, what we've been talking about, both in Sunday school and here even in our morning service, is our wisdom, is it increasing? Is our knowledge of God growing? The Bible says, listen to this, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. Now, that sums up what I've just been saying. You know, Karl Barth, as wise as he was in understanding, knew that he still had to what? Increase learning. Wait a minute, isn't a wise man already someone who has increased learning? We've got to grow. We've got to learn. We can never come to the place where we think, I know it all. And the Bible says there that we will increase learning. That's to have a better understanding. God wants us all to know more about God. This verse carries the idea which is stated in verse 5. The end of the wise and intelligent man is increase in learning and prudence. And it enables them to understand other proverbs. You know, the idea here in the original language is talking about learning to steer. Learning to steer. The meaning of wise counsel is to steer, to give us a course in life that's going to be well-pleasing with the Lord. Yeah, I was talking to somebody this week, and it's still in Alberta, 14 years old, and you can drive a car. Now, I originally thought, when I heard that, I thought that was only the farming community. Certainly in Edmonton, Calgary and other big cities, it's got to be older than that, but no, 14 years old. Let me ask you this, Mom and Dad. How many people here would want their 14-year-old driving through Toronto on their own? Now the mothers are going, no way, I don't even want them at 16 driving out there in the streets today. You know, why don't we let a 12-year-old or an 8-year-old drive a car? Because they don't know how to steer. And if you don't know how to steer a car, you shouldn't be behind the wheel. God says that He wants us to be better drivers. He wants us to give us more of an idea of how to keep the car on the road, to give us a better understanding, to help us steer straight. Without wisdom, we're all going to drive into a telephone pole. Every one of us. There was a boy driving home with his mother from Sunday school. The boy was sitting in the back seat. He was pretty quiet. And the mother decided to engage in some conversation and said, let me back up a little bit. The boy was in Sunday school. And the Sunday school teacher was going on about Lot and about Lot's wife and teaching them about how when they were coming out of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot's wife turned around, looked behind, and turned into a pillar of salt. The little boy put his hand up and said, I was driving one time with my mom home from Sunday school one day, and she looked behind her and she turned into a telephone pole. But you know, we're all going to drive off the road if we don't learn to steer and to keep our eyes in the road and to keep on that right direction. And without wisdom, because of the fact that we're all on a collision course, that is the reason why we need understanding. Certainly all of our lives are on a collision course. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:36, and others had trial and cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you. And in the world, the Bible says that we will have tribulation. John 16:33, these things have I spoken on you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. You're going to drive into telephone poles. We need to increase in wisdom so that we learn to drive straight. In Luke 2:52, even Jesus Christ had to learn. In the verse there, it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. The wise man will learn. And he will increase in knowledge. 1 Corinthians 1:30, the Bible says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. The Bible says there that Jesus Christ is made unto us as wisdom. You know, the true wisdom, the true understanding that we need starts with Jesus Christ. The wisest decision that you could ever make is putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Christ is our wisdom. God is our wisdom. The Word of God is our wisdom. And it's in that understanding that we need to grow. Like I said at the beginning, if we're allowing things of this world to distract us and to pull us away, we need to somehow seek the desire to grow, seek the desire to have understanding and to have wisdom. For many years, more than 30 years, archaeologist Howard Carter searched the deserts of Egypt for something that most people thought didn't exist. The tomb of King Tutankhamun. Most experts believe that everything in the Valley of the Kings had already been discovered, but Carter continued his search. Eventually, after 5 more years without any results, Carter sponsored Lord Carnarvon of England declared that he would stop funding the search. In November of 1922, during the final season of work, Carter uncovered a hidden staircase near the tomb of Ramses VI. He sent a cable to England which said, "At last have made wonderful discovery in valley, a magnificent tomb with seals intact." Carter had indeed located the tomb of King Tut, one of the greatest archaeological treasures ever discovered. After months of careful work, the golden treasures of the tombs were categorized, and the first intact royal mummy ever found was removed from the place where it had rested for more than 3,000 years. Carter's search was driven by his firm belief that there were treasures to be found, though he could not be certain that he was correct. Unlike Carter, we have an absolute guarantee of results. We have a guarantee of success, and we have a guarantee of great reward if we search diligently for wisdom. Do we cry out to God? Do we seek and do we search in His Word as treasure hunters, hunting for that precious treasure? My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart unto understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for a hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. God, help us to seek the knowledge of our God. Father, thank you for this opportunity to be here today. Lord, we do live in a difficult day. We seem to be competing for time. There seems to be so much competition for our affections. We're seeking after so many worldly things, and we've forgotten to seek after you, to seek after understanding, to realize the proverbs of God and the wisdom that is to be found. Father, today, would you increase our desire? Would we desire the wisdom of God more than silver or gold or more than anything of this world? And Lord God, I pray if there's somebody here this morning that's never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God, I pray this morning that they might make that decision. And as we have this altar call, I pray if there's somebody here, if you need to come and be saved, come and let me know. And we'll have somebody take the Bible. If you're a man, we'll have a man take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a lady, we'll have a lady take the Bible, show you how you can know that you're on your way to heaven, your sins have been forgiven, and you're right with God. If you're a Christian here this morning and you've maybe allowed the things of this world to clutter your mind, to take priority in your life over your word and over your wisdom and knowledge, God, I pray today we would come and we would seek that knowledge. We come to this old-fashioned altar and just say, God, give me a thirst. And give me a desire for thy word. Lord God, help us for your glory and for your honor. And with everyone's head bowed and eyes are closed, nobody looking around this morning, could you, with an upraised hand, could you say, Pastor McSwiggin, I know that I found the wisdom in Jesus Christ. I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. Thank you. Thank you for those hands. I know I would go to heaven if I was to die today. Amen. Could you, with an upraised hand, say, Pastor, I'm concerned. We're not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I want to pray for you. Could you just quickly slip your hand up and say, Pastor, I'm not saved. And I'm concerned. I want you to pray for me. Say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not saved. Anyone at all, just quickly slip your hand up. Would you be here? And then as a Christian, and say, Pastor, I have not been seeking knowledge and understanding. I've allowed too many things to clutter my life. Thank you for those hands. You say, Pastor, pray for me. Thank you for those hands. Amen. Thank you. Anyone else say, Pastor, pray for me. That I would seek you, desire you in your ways more than anything. Thank you. Thank you. Father, thank you for these individuals this morning that were able to raise the hand for salvation. And Lord, I thank you for the ones that raised their hand in affirmation of their need to seek you as hidden treasure and desire the wisdom of God, desire the things of God more than their necessary bread. Lord God, help each and every one of us. For your honor and for your glory. We'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. And amen. Let's stand together. And again, if you've raised your hand, the altar's open if you need to come and do business.